The reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 and 22 at page 961. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times."
It's children's time, so come on down if you want to spend some time with the pastor. Need some adult kids to come forward. Some of you grew up to this song, so this is called "Beautiful Sunday." What's it make you want to do? Doesn't it make you want to move? This is a song. I was your age when this came out. Yeah. And all I wanted to do was move and dance. That's good. Thanks. What kind of music makes you want to do that? Is there a song you like to dance to? So you'd rather listen than dance. Do you ever dance when you were littler? Yeah? Okay. You know, most of us were dancers at one time. Sometimes we have to talk to our parents to be told about the days when we used to dance. Because somewhere along the line, we became self-conscious. And it became uncomfortable to move in front of other people, or to talk in front of other people, or to do much of anything in front of other people. Somewhere along the line, we stopped feeling good about who we were. And when we hear gospel passages like we heard today about forgiveness, we're usually thinking about something somebody else did to us. But forgiveness starts here. And most of us have to forgive our bodies for not being what we think they should be. If I said to any of you here, finish the phrase, "I'm too," you would have no problem coming up with an answer, would you? I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too big. I'm too small. I'm too quiet. I'm too loud. We have all kinds of standards we carry around with us, and most of them are a waste of time, right? Most of them are telling us that who we are isn't okay. A friend of mine taught me a phrase I've been using a lot lately. When people ask me how I am, I will tell them honestly, "Oh, I'm great today. I'm sad today. I'm in a lot of pain today. I'm hurting today." But I've learned to add a phrase to that. "But I can still dance. I'm sad today, but I can still dance. I'm feeling some arthritic pain today, but I can still dance." The person who taught me this was taught by somebody who had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. ALS slowly robs you of the ability to express yourself through your body. By the end of ALS, you can't move any muscles at all. And this person used to always say, "Today I'm feeling this way, but I can still dance." And she said that. In the end, she could only say it with her eyes until the very end. Because she danced with her body until her body couldn't dance anymore. And then she danced with her face, just moving her head. And then she danced with her eyebrows. And finally, she could only dance by moving her eyes. But it was her way of telling her family, who were very worried about her, that she was okay, because she could still dance. So I invite you to remember to forgive yourself. You are exactly as you were meant to be. You're beautiful. You're sacred. You're powerful. You're beloved. And you can dance. And your soul was made for dancing. So even if you've gotten to a point where you're not real comfortable dancing with your body, dance with your soul. Even if you have to sit still because it makes you subconscious or uncomfortable, self-conscious to move, then dance with your heart. But don't ever stop dancing. Forgive yourself for being less than perfect, because we all are, and that's exactly how it was meant to be. Okay? Thanks for coming up for children's moment. This is great. We could just do the whole sermon right here. Thank you very much for coming up. It is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to be here with you. I love preaching and sharing sermons with congregations, and I don't do that very often anymore, so it's great to be able to be here and to share this with you. It's also, I'm extraordinarily humbled and grateful for Pastor Rick's and Sherry's invitation to come here specifically, because this congregation has an amazing reputation and an amazing presence in the community. I used to live just about 4 or 5 blocks from here. I used to drive down Imperial almost every day. And I felt like I got inoculated as I drove by this church every day. There was always something on the sign that would give me an ability to breathe again, no matter how frustrated I was with one circumstance or another. That's a great gift you give the community, and it may not seem like a big deal to you because you're so used to it, but it's a beautiful gift to give the world a positive message of hope, even if it's just driving down Imperial Boulevard. And like most people, I drove past that sign for 13 years, and I never came in here to say, hey, thank you for that sign. That's awesome. The vast majority of people you're gifting are never going to come in here and say thank you. But you're still gifting them. Today I want to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects. A couple of people close to me call it the F word. And so I thought, oh, that's a good title for the sermon. We'll talk about the F word. And for those of you that are ready to roll a 4-letter word off your lips, not that F word. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult concepts in the Christian faith. And because we misunderstand it most of the time, we don't practice it as we were intended. We tend to think forgiveness is something we give someone else. And so, we tend to think that there must be some meritocracy associated with forgiveness. People have to earn forgiveness. I mean, after all, could you forgive Hitler? Could you forgive Stalin? Could you forgive somebody who abused you as a child? Could you forgive? We all have someone, some circumstance that we consider unforgivable. We have a pain that we carry around with us, and we feel that there needs to be some accountability for the source of that pain. And that may be true, but that has nothing to do with forgiveness. That is all about absolution. Okay, absolution is a great theological word. And having spent the first 35 of my years of my life in the Roman Catholic Church, I learned all about absolution and who could give absolution and who couldn't. And my need to step into a little booth and confess everything to a very particular person. And then if I did the formula right, in exchange, I would receive absolution from a priest and from God, through whom from God through the priest as a conduit, right? Absolution is all about washing away the connection I have to my own mistakes, being freed from them, okay? That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a gift I give myself. Forgiveness is my statement that I am not going to be defined by this experience. Forgiveness is my decision to set myself free. It has nothing to do with anyone else. Can I forgive Hitler? Absolutely. I have to if I'm carrying around the effects of Hitler's actions in my being. If somehow I have taken that upon myself, I have become attached to that, I have become defined, even to a very small degree, by the actions of anyone else, or even by my own actions, inactions, failures, shortcomings, I need forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is allowing myself to be reminded that I am created in the image and likeness of God. I am beloved of the one who has always loved me, and nothing I ever do, nothing that ever happens to me, nothing I ever experience can change that in one iota. I am who I am. I came from the one who has always loved us, and I return to the one who has always loved us. Everything else is transitory. That is the only permanence in my life, the only unchangeable thing in my life. The divine is my source and my destination. And when I can live into that, when I can breathe into that, when I can drink that in and allow it to be expressed through me, I become a conduit of the divine. You've all heard the story about the two pots. One was fashioned perfectly and was so strong that it held up and held its perfect form over time. And the other one had been fashioned in rather a hurry, evidently, and had a few cracks and chips and didn't age well at all. And over time, developed those chips became fissures. And one was hung on one side of a bar and the other was hung on the other side of a bar. And every day, a servant would take this bar up and walk down to the stream and fill the buckets and walk all the way back to the household. And the perfect bucket would arrive at the household filled to the brim with water. And the servant would pour all the water into the cistern, and then would take the other bucket. And the other bucket, on a good day, was about half full. Some days, even less. The chipped and broken bucket felt terrible about itself. And it didn't help that the so-called perfect bucket was constantly giving it a bad time. You can't do anything right. We have one job, and you can't even do that. All you have to do is hold water, and you can't even hold it. We get back here, and you're not even doing half the job I'm doing. One day, the broken and chipped bucket had just had it, could barely stand its existence anymore, and was beginning to say things like, you know, I don't know why the servant doesn't just take me and smash me into dust and remold me into something else, because I'm obviously not good as a bucket. And this servant, who had a very, very keen intuition, picked up on what the broken bucket was saying. So the servant the next day took up the pole with the two buckets and went down to the stream and filled them both up and walked back up to the house. But before he got to the cistern, before he even went inside the house, he turned around and looked back. And he said to the two buckets, have you ever noticed which side of my shoulders you ride on as we walk back up to the house? And the whole bucket said, yes, of course, I always ride on your left shoulder. And the broken bucket said, yes, I always ride on your right shoulder. And the servant said, as we walk up to the house, my left shoulder faces the middle of the road, and my right shoulder faces the edge of the road. What do you see along the middle of the road? And they looked and looked, but they couldn't really see anything. He said, what do you see along the edge of the road? And finally, the broken bucket noticed that along the entire edge of the road were beautiful flowers. And he said, do you realize that if you had no cracks or fissures at all, the edge of the road would be as barren as the middle of the road? We were created with cracks and fissures and broken places. If you think this is just part of mythology, you don't understand the recent advancements in genetics and so many other sciences that show us that many of the things that we constantly berate ourselves about are built into our DNA. We are who we are. Some of us get angry quicker than others. And some of that is just built into who we are. And even if it wasn't there when we were born, it was etched into us by experiences that drove so deep that we'll carry them for the rest of our lives. It's just who we are. Forgiveness is a decision to accept what is. To accept what is about us. To accept what is about others. To accept what is in our world. And to say, today is a day when I have to accept that my best is not very good at all, but it's my best. And I can still dance. The challenge for all of us isn't to become something we are not. It is to live in to who we are. You know, I've done a recent study because I've been preaching at a lot of Unitarian Universalist churches. For some reason, they find it quite captivating to have a Christian who's a universalist come and deliver a message in their congregations. I guess because they think I'm such an anomaly. And I've told them many times, you know, all you have to do is go attend a UCC church or a Disciples church, and you'll meet lots of people like me. But I did a study on, you know, because I was preaching to Unitarians, I thought, I want to find, is there something at the essence, something at the core of religious expression that crosses religious lines? Christian, Islamic, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist. And so I dove into my study and I fully expected to find that at the center, at the core of every religion was love. Something akin to the Christian mandate to love your neighbor as yourself. And it turns out that most religions do have something similar to that in their teachings, but it's not at the core. Do you know what's at the core of religious expression? Do you know what the deepest, and to me, religions grew from human intuition, the awareness that there was something more. And grew out of a desire to find, to give expression to that something more. So you know what the deepest human intuition seems to be? That if you want to live a good life, if you want to do the right thing, if you want to be connected to the divine, do you know what the core principle is? Authenticity. See, you can't love, really love, another person until you are who you are. You'll always feel like a fraud. Until you are willing to be who you are, to be the broken vessel that you were created, to live into that and be okay with that. And then guess what happens when you reach a point where this is who I am? You come to see your sisters and brothers as they are. And you come to recognize the creator of the universe in their presence. And you understand, maybe for the first time, what it means to worship. When I was in the Roman Catholic Church, we always had a tabernacle in the front of the church. Does anybody know what a tabernacle is? Thank you. I'll take one of those. I think I have an allergy attack going on. A tabernacle is a place. It's a beautiful, usually metal, decorative, locked little structure where they keep the consecrated hosts of the Eucharist. Why do they do that? Well, because the bread can only be consecrated by a priest. And once it's consecrated, for Catholics, it contains, it is the very body of Christ. And I once heard a story of a Catholic priest and his Protestant colleague who came in to the Catholic church, to the sanctuary, to pray together. And the Protestant minister asked the Catholic priest about the tabernacle, and he told him what the tabernacle was. And he said, you know, it's always at the front of the church. It's always right at the center of our focus because the real presence of Christ rests there. And so we sit in adoration and worship of Christ. And the Protestant minister said, oh, wow, if I could believe that, I would never leave here. That is amazing. And the Catholic priest said, really? Well, that's rather surprising to me because I always thought you always believed that the real presence of Christ rests within every single human being. I would think you would move anywhere, anytime throughout your life with an overwhelming sense of awe. Folks, that's how we're meant to live. We're meant to dance through life. We're meant to live with an overwhelming sense of awe. We're meant to look in the mirror every morning and go, wow! I am spectacular. So then we can go out and go to church on Sunday morning and say, sing, It's a Beautiful Day, and dance like we're 5 or 6 again and look at each other and say, wow, you are spectacular. Because you are. Not some idealized form of you. Not the perfect you. The you that only you really know. The secret you. The you that you think needs to be kept under wraps. The you that you're afraid to expose. Warts, frailties, human shortcomings, sin, all of it. That's the you that God has redeemed. For 2,000 years, we lived in a redeemed world. So why don't we look like people who live in a redeemed world? Because we don't really believe it. Oh, we come in on Sunday morning and we profess it, and we sing songs about it, and we kind of get a glimpse of it, but then we go back out there and we're pretty concerned. We're pretty sure we live in a screwed up world. We live in a sinful world. We live in a broken world. We live in a dangerous world. We live in all kinds of things but a redeemed world. And we're never going to see a redeemed world until we see a redeemed Daryl. A redeemed Sherry, a redeemed every person in here. You don't need to get your act together. You need to see that God loves you exactly as you are and wants you to learn to live into that. So forgive yourself. Forgive this world for being less than perfect. Forgive your experiences every moment of every day for not living up to some ridiculous standard created by synapses going off in your brain. Live into what is. Because that's the only way you're going to get to what might be. Stop and think about it. If you're going from here to Pacific Palisades right after church, and you think here is the city of Bishop, California, what are your chances of getting to Pacific Palisades? You got to accept where you are first. then you can get to where you're going. And I can tell you just by standing here and looking at you where you are, it's absolutely beautiful. May God bless you and keep you. May you hold within your heart that you are a redeemed manifestation of the divine. And may you carry that wherever you go. Amen.